Good morning.
Morning.
And greetings in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ on this, the third Sunday of Easter. Well, it's the third Sunday of Easter as you're listening to it. It's the day before for the group that's going to record the divine service again. And I just might make a comment about that. There's more street noise and sometimes business noise than we typically have on a Sunday. But I'm very thankful today that I'm joined by Mike and Connie Meunier, and once again with Ruth and Hannah Scholze, and with Leslie. And we're going through the entire service, and we are worshiping and communing. And you will be able to join either listening to the entire service or listening to the sermon at least and getting through the service. And when we come to communion, I just want to remind everybody that in groups of six, set up an appointment. I would be pleased to be able to commune you. Otherwise, as we're forced to fast from such a salutary gift, I think there's a sense spiritually we can be participating and hungering all the more for when we can participate fully in being able to receive Christ's body and his blood, and to do so in proximity to one another as the body of Christ. And if it's a little rough, I feel that. And hopefully our hearts will just grow all the more fond, and we can relish the forgiveness that we have in our baptism that's with us always, and as Christ comes to us in his word. So, as always, I'm wordy, but we would begin. I would ask the congregation to rise, and we would start with the centering song as printed in the bulletin. Because our first hymn will be in With One Voice, I'm going to have you turn to page 10 in With One Voice, and we'll do the brief order for confession and forgiveness there. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hid, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Please take a moment for reflection and self-examination. Most merciful God, we confess that we are in bondage to sin and cannot free ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your holy name. Amen. In the mercy of Almighty God, Jesus Christ was given to die for us, and for his sake, God forgives us all our sins. As a called and ordained minister of the Church of Christ, and by his authority, I therefore declare to you the entire forgiveness of all your sins, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Hymn number 674. 674. Continue on page 78 of the Green Hymn Book. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
In peace, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For this holy house, and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord.
Amen.
This is a feast of victory for our God. Alleluia.
Worthy is Christ, the Lamb who was.
slain, whose blood set us free to be people of God. Power and riches and wisdom and strength, honor and blessing and glory are His. This is the feast of victory for our God. Alleluia. Sing with all the people of God and join in the hymn of all creation. Blessing and honor and glory and might be to God and the Lamb forever. Amen. This is the feast of victory for our God. On a Lamb who was slain has begun His reign.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. O God, through the humiliation of your Son, you raised up the fallen world. Grant to your faithful people, rescued from the peril of everlasting death, perpetual gladness and eternal joys. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Amen. You may be seated.
The first lesson is from the second chapter of Acts. Peter, standing with the 11, lifted up his voice and addressed them. Let all the house of Israel, therefore, know for certain that God has made him both Lord and Christ, this Jesus whom you crucified. Now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, Brothers, what shall we do? And Peter said to them, Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is for you and for your children and for all who are far off, everyone whom the Lord our God calls to himself. And with many other words he bore witness and continued to exhort them, saying, Save yourselves from this crooked generation. So those who received his word were baptized, and there were added that day about 3,000 souls. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The psalm for today is found on page 272. It is Psalm 116, verses 1 through 12. And today we'll do this women to men by whole verses.
Of death entangled me, the grip of the grave took hold of me. I came to grief and sorrow. Gracious is the Lord and righteous, our God is full of compassion. Turn again to your rest, O my soul, for the Lord has treated you well.
For you have rescued my life from death, my eyes from tears, and my feet from stumbling.
I will walk walk in the presence of the Lord in the land of the living. How shall I repay the Lord for all the good things he has done for me?
I will lift up the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord.
I will fulfill my vows to the Lord in the presence of all his people.
The second lesson is from the first chapter of 1 Peter. If you call on him as Father, who judges impartially according to each one's deeds, conduct yourselves with fear throughout the time of your exile, knowing that you are ransomed from the futile ways inherited from your forefathers, not with perishable things such as silver or gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, like that of a lamb without blemish or spot. He was foreknown before the foundation of the world, but was made manifest in the last times for your sake, who through him are believers in God, who raised him from the dead and gave him glory, so that your faith and hope are in God. Having purified your souls by your obedience to the truth for a sincere brotherly love, love one another earnestly from a pure heart. Since you have been born again, not of a perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and abiding word of God. For all flesh is like grass, and all its glory like the flower of grass. The grass withers, and the flower falls, but the word of the Lord remains forever. And this word is the good news that was preached to you. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Will the congregation please rise?
Alleluia, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. Alleluia.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 24th chapter. That very day, two of them were going to a village named Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem, and they were talking with each other about all these things that had happened. While they were talking and discussing together, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were kept from recognizing him, and he said to them, "What is this conversation that you're holding with each other as you walk?" And they stood still, looking sad. Then one of them, named Cleopas, answered him, "Are you the only visitor to Jerusalem who does not know the things that have happened there in these days?" And he said to them, "What things?" And they said to him, "Concerning Jesus of Nazareth, a man who was a prophet mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how our chief priests and rulers delivered him up to be condemned to death and crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel. Yes, and besides all this, it is now the third day since these things happened. Moreover, some women of our company amazed us. They were at the tomb early in the morning, and when they did not find his body, they came back saying that they had even seen a vision of angels who said that he was alive. Some of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but him they did not see. And he said to them, 'O foolish ones and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken, was it not necessary that the Christ should suffer these things and enter into his glory?' And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. So they drew near to the village to which they were going. He acted as if he were going further. But they urged him strongly, saying, 'Stay with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is now far spent.' So he went in to stay with them. When he was at table with them, he took the bread and blessed and broke it and gave it to them. And their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he vanished from their sight. They said to each other, "Did not our hearts burn within us while he talked to us on the road, while he opened to us the scriptures?" And they rose that same hour and returned to Jerusalem, and they found the 11 and those who were with them gathered together, saying, "The Lord has risen indeed and has appeared to Simon." Then they told what had happened on the road, how he was known to them in the breaking of the bread. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Christ.
Please be seated. I wish all the congregation that happens to be listening to this could see five brave souls that are willing to sit here and let me preach to them. And I don't know if they'll listen to it tomorrow or not, but this is so wonderful to be able to preach to faces in proximity, and I hope it's a blessing to you at home as well. The gospel reading we heard in verse 35 as the two disciples reported to the others back in Jerusalem. Then they told what had happened on the road and how Jesus was known to them in the breaking of the bread. Brothers and sisters in Christ, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. And everyone said,
Amen.
Pray with me further. Lord God, Heavenly Father, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight. O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. And again, everyone said,
Amen.
Jesus' appearance to the two disciples on the road to Emmaus occurs in Luke's gospel account. And Luke had a good reason for including this appearance of the risen Christ. And his likely reason speaks powerfully as to how you and I can benefit from our Lord's promise to be present with his followers to the end of the age. As we dig into this telling of the account by Luke, I believe you will be greatly comforted by what we discover. So let's visit this account again. Two disciples on the road to Emmaus, 7 miles away from Jerusalem, at the end of a week's gathering for the Passover celebration, and they are returning to Emmaus. And they're talking about how the week had climaxed, and they're sad. And suddenly, a stranger pulls up alongside them. Where did he come from? He suddenly appears. And they don't recognize him. We'll talk about that shortly. And he's a bit of an interloper. And they don't seem to mind that this stranger accompany them and join in the conversation. But it's Jesus, it's the risen Christ, and they don't recognize him. Now we're told one of the two disciples' name was Cleopas, and we're pretty sure this Cleopas is the very same Clopas in John's gospel. And if that is the case, then this is Jesus' uncle, that is, it's Joseph's brother. And then very likely we have a pretty good idea who the other disciple would have been too. For Clopas could have been accompanied by his son Simeon. It was their home in Emmaus, after all, that they were going to. And we know from history that Simeon was the second bishop at the church in Jerusalem. Now, whether that's the case or not, these are two disciples, and they would have been familiar with Jesus. How much more if it was an uncle? And what would that be then, a cousin? But they don't recognize Jesus. And what's that all about? But we read in the text, and Luke tells us, but their eyes were kept from recognizing him. This is significant. Their eyes were kept from recognizing him. I think, as Luke tells this account, he's going to punctuate what we should know already, and that is that this whole matter of faith and being able to see by faith is a gift of God that God makes possible. And until he opens our eyes, and oh, do we have an interesting discovery when we get to that, we remain blind to things that are as plain as the nose on our face. So Luke makes a big deal about this. Their eyes were kept from recognizing, so it's just a stranger. They evidently don't understand his voice. They don't see his appearance. But he asked them the question, and we're going to see a master catechist at work in teaching. That is, a master teacher, because he's going to involve himself in a Bible study on this trip. And so Jesus, unbeknownst to them, I'll call him a stranger at this point, the stranger says, "What is this conversation that you're having?" And they don't mind telling him, but they find incredulously, "What do you mean? What's this conversation? Are you the only visitor to Jerusalem that isn't all abuzz by how this week ended and how this popular figure was put to death as a criminal on the cross?" But they just say at this point, "Are you the only visitor to Jerusalem that hasn't heard of these things?" And then the master teacher says, "What things?" When you lead a Bible study and when you teach, it's good to ask questions and to find out what your students already know so you can augment what they know and you can hone in. And so he listens to them, and I'm going to read a little bit of it. "They stood still, looking sad. Then one of them, named Cleopas, answered, 'Are you the only visitor to Jerusalem who doesn't know what's happening these days?' And they said, 'Concerning Jesus of Nazareth, a man who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God.'" And indeed, Jesus was a mouthpiece of God, and he was indeed, no one contested, mighty in deed, the miracles, the signs, and in word. No one ever spoke with the authority like this man spoke. And all the people, and how our chief priests and rulers delivered him up to be condemned to death and crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel." What they hope for is that he was the Redeemer, is bingo, right on target, but they don't believe that he's the Redeemer. Jesus had said himself earlier in the Gospels, and in Mark chapter 10, it's recorded, "For the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life up as a ransom for many." That ransom is the cost of redemption. They make a good confession, but they're saddened because they do not think that Jesus ended up being the Redeemer, little realizing that he had just pulled off the work of their redemption. So Jesus knows what he has to work with. And then he gets ready for a thorough Bible study. And I just love it. Let me tell you what I know from hiking. A 7-mile trip at a pace of, say, a 20-minute mile, 3 miles in an hour, you got over 2 hours to have a Bible study here. This isn't a 3-minute devotional time or just a few thoughts. This is a good time to go back and forth with questions. And Jesus is asked a question, and now this stranger to them involves himself in a little catechesis, a little instruction. And I love how this is written here. "But first, our Lord reprimands the disciples." And you know, we want to put ourselves in the Bible text. And I think there's a proper way to do that when we realize we're not the center stage or the center of the frame, but to put ourselves in. Jesus should always fill that frame and be center stage. But here, I think if we properly put ourselves into this portrait, these words apply to us as well, spoken by our Lord. "O foolish ones and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken." Ouch. But it's true for me so often. Then Jesus gets into the explanation, was it not necessary that the Christ should suffer these things and enter into his glory? This is how redemption takes place. And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them in all the scripture the things concerning himself. That must have been some Bible study that unfolded over a good length of time. I'd like to know all the texts that were involved, but walking through the scripture of the day, which we call the Old Testament, which is here identified as Moses and all the prophets, Jesus interprets the scriptures about the things concerning himself, and specifically that redemption does happen because the Christ came to suffer and die to atone for our sins. Jesus had said earlier in John's gospel to the religious leaders, "You search the scriptures because you think that in them you have eternal life, and it is they that bear witness about me." All the scriptures speak to Christ, including those scriptures that talk about the redemptive suffering of the suffering servant for our salvation. Then the most amazing thing happens as they near the village of Emmaus. It appeared to the two disciples, that this stranger, Jesus unbeknownst to them, was going to continue on, but they realize it's coming to the end of the day, the sun is setting, and they say to him, "Why don't you turn aside and accept our hospitality? It's toward the end of the day. Come and take part in our hospitality." What a beautiful thing. When somebody opens their home to a guest, they open their lives to that guest. And we'll see that even all the more with the meal. And when we open our lives to invite Jesus into our lives, into our homes, good things happen to us. And so Jesus accepts the invitation, turns aside, and comes into their home. I believe hospitality and welcoming somebody into our lives is a very picture of faith, because faith is what receives the generous, unmerited gift of God, and we receive it by faith, and we believe, as the scriptures teach in Ephesians 2, 8, and 9. I hope everybody knows it. I've got some voices here. Let's read Ephesians 2, 8, and 9 together. "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing. It is a gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast." So Jesus turns aside and stays with them. And then we read, when he was at table with them, the words could be easily translated and are in other places in scriptures, "they reclined at table with him." This isn't just, you can come in the house for a minute and here's a sandwich for the journey. This is a meal that they would sit down to, that they would recline. This is a sign of hospitality and fellowship. And I want us to see that. By welcoming this stranger who is Jesus into their home, they were welcoming him into their lives. And they were having fellowship with him. This is the very picture of what it means for us to have faith, to invite Jesus into our lives. And it's at the meal, and then it continues to be strange, because he's the guest. But the guest suddenly plays the part of the host and takes bread and breaks it. Now, in Jesus' part, he would know for sure that when it comes to the Lord Jesus breaking bread and giving it to his disciples, they would have surely remembered in the miraculous feeding of the 5,000 in one case and in another case 4,000, that Jesus took bread and he blessed it and broke it and distributed it to them. And they would have also remembered on that final meal that they shared together, when he himself instituted Holy Communion, that once again Jesus took bread, gave thanks and broke it, and gave it to his disciples. They would have made that connection, and they will make that connection Because then we're told, then their eyes were opened. Remember, their eyes had been shut to being able to recognize Jesus. Now, at this instance, their eyes are open and they recognize who it is that had just blessed bread, broke it, and gave it to them. Now, I'm not saying that this meal here is necessarily Holy Communion, but I am saying as they would reflect on this, that they would remember that Jesus had taken bread and had blessed it and broke it and distributed it, and that would mean something to them, and that this is no mistake, that it is in the breaking of the bread that their eyes are open and they recognize Jesus. And then again, as things are so bizarre here, the next thing we read, and then he vanished from their sight. Now Luke's recording a real event that's happened, but I believe that Luke is really punctuating what happened here to make it known to them that Jesus vanishes from their sight. But as he promised to be with his disciples to the end of the age, at this moment, in the breaking of the bread, with the recognition of the risen Christ, that there's a real clue here how he is present with us on to the end of the age until we see him by sight once again when he comes at the end of the age. And I believe they made that kind of connection then and there. And it's then that they realized and they said, were not our hearts burning within us as he explicated to us the scriptures and talked about the necessity of the Christ dying to redeem the human race? Hey, there's something very Lutheran. Or wait, maybe I should put it a different way. In our Lutheranism, there's something very Christian about this word and sacrament as the way God would be with us to the end of the age, when no longer by sight we saw him, would see him. That would happen after the ascension, and await for that blessed day that we would see him face to face, that it would be word and sacrament. I'm going to jump ahead just briefly to next Sunday. And the reading from the book of Acts, did you know Luke also wrote Acts? And in that book, after the great Pentecost sermon of Peter, that was our first reading today, people were cut to the heart. What must we do to be saved? And they were instructed to repent and to be baptized, and they would be filled with the Holy Spirit. We learn that after all that, the first thing that now some 3,000 believers, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship and to the breaking of the bread. This would start to be code word in the early church for communion, and to the prayers, word, and sacrament as people come together. And then what can we do in the face of such amazing gifts but to offer our prayer and our praise and our thanksgiving? Sounds an awful lot like the divine service, does it not? What a comfort to us. And so we think that Luke wrote this account sometime around the year of our Lord 55 to 60, that is 20, 25 years after Jesus' death and resurrection. And Luke's orderly account that he writes was dependent on his investigation of eyewitness reports. We also know that he was a traveling companion with the Apostle Paul on missionary journeys. It is very likely that Luke includes this account to bolster the practice and confidence already in the church of the importance of gathering with other Christians for teaching, fellowship, the breaking of bread, and the prayers. In short, especially for word and sacrament. And just so, Jesus remains with us, establishing and nurturing our faith onto life eternal. And let's remember, we receive this by inviting Jesus into our homes, indeed into our lives, indeed into our very hearts. May the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. And everyone said, Amen. Amen. We'll be continue at this time with the hymn of the day, hymn number 352, and we'll do stanzas 1, 2, 7, and 8. 1, 2, 7, and 8. Will the congregation please rise? Continuing on page 84, we confess our faith in the words of the Nicene Creed. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation he came down from heaven. By the power of the Holy Spirit he became incarnate from the Virgin Mary and was made man. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day he rose again, in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son. With the Father and the Son
he is worshipped and glorified.
He has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy, Catholic, and Apostolic Church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins, for the resurrection of the dead, and the life of the world to come. Amen.
Let us pray for the whole people of God in Christ Jesus, and for all people according to their needs. Lord Jesus, you ransom and purify your church with your own precious blood. Grant that the church should constantly glorify you, live in glad obedience to you, and preach your gospel to all. We ask this especially for the Protestant evangelical churches. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Hear the cries of those who are persecuted on account of you, and rescue them from suffering and sorrow. By their humble trust in you, cause the hearts of their tormentors to be cut to the quick, that they may turn to you and be saved. We especially pray for Didi Ponzo and the recovery of his sight. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Bless this congregation with your presence. Cause our hearts to burn within us as we hear your word. Come to us in the breaking of the bread at your holy table, and make us eager and tireless in telling our family, friends, and neighbors about your love for them, which has triumphed over sin and death. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Comfort and protect us at this time of worldwide crisis, that we not give in to despair and loss of hope. For those seriously ill with the coronavirus, we ask for healing. For the most vulnerable, we ask for their protection. And for the frontline workers, especially with medical personnel, we ask that you watch over them and help them with their prevention and healing efforts. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Heal the suspicions, cruelty, and self-centeredness which afflict this crooked generation, the people and leaders of every nation. Teach us reverent obedience to your Father, who judges impartially according to our deeds. Give us strength to help however we can, and make all of us slow to condemn and swift to show mercy. We especially pray for our President Donald Trump and our Governor Tony Evers. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
We plead on behalf of all who suffer in body, mind, heart, or spirit. We especially pray for Berger Eckloff, Cynthia Granger, Carol Halderson, Janet Sissel, Doris Stonke, Marge Wangen, Phil Weber, and those we now name before you.
For Pam and for Jeff.
For Jeff. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
With gratitude and affection, we remember your servants whose death is precious in your sight. Stay with us who still walk the long Emmaus roads of this earthly life, for we too are your servants, whom you have redeemed. Lead us, dear Jesus, into your Father's house. There, with everyone whom you have delivered from death, we will lift your cup of salvation, eat your bread of life, behold you face to face, and adore you in the power of the Spirit forever. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer. Into your hands, merciful Father, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. The peace of the Lord be with you always.
And also with you.
And again this week, I assure you that we're not exchanging the peace, and we're maintaining our distance here. At this time, unbeknownst to our collection here, as we would normally take up the offering, I just have to assume they've got triple and duty to try to make up for everybody here, right? So we might be passing for a while. We normally take the offering, and maybe it's just an occasion to say it's not only a way of contributing to the work of ministry, but it becomes emblematic of extending our lives in thanksgiving to the one they belong to in the first place, to putting ourselves on the altar and to giving ourselves in wholehearted dedication and out of gratitude for what he's done for us. So that would be the offering period. We'll go right now to the great Thanksgiving. And the Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
It is indeed right and salutary that we should at all times and in all places offer thanks and praise to you, O Lord, Holy Father, Almighty and ever-living God. But chiefly we are bound to praise you for the glorious resurrection of our Lord. For he is the true Passover Lamb who gave himself to take away our sin, who by his death has destroyed death and by his rising has brought us to eternal life. And so with Mary Magdalene and Peter and all the witnesses of the resurrection, with earth and sea and all their creatures, and with angels and archangels, cherubim and seraphim, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Blessed are you, Lord of heaven and earth, in mercy for our fallen world. You gave your only Son, that all those who believe in him should not perish but have eternal life. We give thanks to you for the salvation you have prepared for us through Jesus Christ. Send now your Holy Spirit into our hearts that we may receive our Lord with a living faith as he comes to us in his Holy Supper.
Amen. Amen.
In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread and gave thanks, broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the New Testament of my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom,
and the power,
and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. The gifts of God for the people of God. Amen. Lamb of God, you take away the sins of the world. Have mercy on us. Hannah, the body of Christ given for you. Ruth, the body of Christ given for you. Mike, the body of Christ given for you. Connie, the body of Christ given for you. Leslie, the body of Christ given for you. Hannah, the blood of Christ shed for you. Ruth, the blood of Christ shed for you. Mike, the blood of Christ shed for you. Connie, the blood of Christ shed for you. Leslie, the blood of Christ shed for you.
Amen.
The body of Christ given for me. The blood of Christ shed for me. The body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you in his grace.
Amen. Amen.
Thank the Lord and sing his praise. Tell everyone what he has done. Let everyone who seeks the Lord rejoice and proudly bear his name. He recalls his promises and leads his people forth in joy with shouts of thanksgiving.
Let us pray. We give you thanks, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us through the healing power of this gift of life. And we pray that in your mercy, you would strengthen us through this gift in faith towards you and in fervent love toward one another. For the sake of Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Amen.
Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and grant you peace. Hymn 143. Christ is risen, alleluia.
He is risen indeed.
Go in peace, serve the Lord.
Thanks be to God.